have to ask for help. If you need help, you gotta be true to yourself and just say, you know what, I might need a little help in this area. And so let's work on this.
Hey there, I am Dr. Jason Ballara, and this is the Know Your Why podcast, where we explore the why behind success. Every week, I meet with real estate investors, veterinary entrepreneurs, mindset coaches, authors, and fitness professionals to uncover their why and how it drives them on the winding road to success. What is your why?
Hi, everyone. I'm Jason Ballara, and this is the Know Your Why podcast. Today, I'm here with Brent Pullman. Brent has gone through a major transition in the last 5 years and tells his story in his book, Leaders Look Within. He impresses in his talks with leadership and leadership is personal, and each person has to find it for themselves. So, Brent, I'm going to stop there because I want to let you tell your story. But first, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for coming on the show today, taking the time out to come and share your story and talk to our listeners. Thank you very much.
Absolutely. Thanks, Jason, for having me on. And I'm excited to talk about this topic of leadership and how it relates to all of us and how we can all find that.
Absolutely. Well, why don't we start with your story? Tell us a little bit about your background and, get into how you came to the book and all of that.
Yeah. So currently I'm CEO and owner of Midwest Laboratories. My father started the company in 1975. I worked through high school, college. Then my dad and I made a pact that I needed to go out and really get more experience outside of here. And before I would even think about coming back, I ended up coming back in 2005 in marketing. And then in 2016, my dad and I, we kind of took over. My dad had two other partners and they both retired. And so then it was down to my dad and myself till 2020 when my dad finally retired at the age of 80. And here we are. The business is it's really growing and booming. And probably I would say the last 7 years have just been quite a transition on the leadership side. I've learned so much. And it has been, as you said earlier in the bio and introduction, it has been a huge transformation for me and the people we work with here. And it's just been phenomenal to watch and see.
Yeah, that's great. Tell me a little bit about, just so people understand, tell me about Midwest Laboratories.
Midwest Laboratories, we start out, we do testing. Basically, I tell people we do everything but blood. We do more on the agriculture environmental side with soil, plants, and water. And then on the human side, we do food testing, food safety testing, microbiological testing. And then on the pet food side and feed side, we do animal feed, pet food. And again, those three verticals, animal, human, ag, and environmental, are really what make up Midwest Laboratories. We have 300 employees today, and we're a production lab. We get samples in, and in 3 to 5 days, we get analysis back to our clients.
Excellent. Well, this sort of transformation concept, these last 5-7 years that you've spent in sort of developing your own leadership style and obviously led to a book on that. Tell us a little bit about it. Tell us, kind of what made that happen, kind of what you experienced along the way. I think it'd be interesting for people to hear that.
Yeah, I think all of us at some point want to make a difference. And for me, when I first took over in 2016, I had all kinds of ideas. And even when I came back in 2005, working in a number of places and coming back, I had a lot of ideas. And I just remember my dad saying, hey, slow down. You got to understand the business first before you start implementing all these changes. And then in 2016, I really wanted, I've been here a while. I knew what needed to be fixed and I wanted it done right now, right away. And so I was going 1,000 miles an hour. I was highly reactive. I pretty much was just driven by numbers and dollars. And it really did consume me. And I was making a lot of mistakes. And that's when it really hit me that all these mistakes and stuff, I don't know if I really know what leadership looks like. And I need to really take a step back and really just take a pause. And I actually had a person who I work with today, Dana, she was really the one who really kind of said, I think we need to slow down a little bit. You're going way too fast. And I think we need to take things a little bit slower and really look at this whole thing about leadership and where the company's going and your why. And that's where it really started. Was she would ask me what my why was, and I didn't have a good answer. I would change it. She'd keep asking questions and kept changing. And I think that's what I think a lot of us have, is we think we have a why until somebody asks us the right questions. And really, that was really the start. I had to know why I got up every morning. I had to understand what my real purpose was. And I didn't have it. I really didn't have it. And that's bad for a leader to not have a really strong why. So that was really the start.
Yeah. I think people that come into a business that's owned by, you know, family, parents, whatever it is, you know, kind of there's a bit of a different dynamic, right? You may get hired into that business and come in to fill a role, but also, oh, by the way, your boss is, you know, the guy that you sat across from the dinner table for your whole life, that kind of thing. And so I think those family dynamics can make it challenging to find your spot, I guess, you know, what your strengths are. How do you, there's always, I think, you know, people know that whether your parent was a coach or you worked for them or whatever it is, I think there's a lot of struggle with the dynamic and sort of translating that from what are we outside of work? What are we inside of work? How does that all work together? Even working with a spouse, whatever it is. And I think it's a really interesting piece to be in. And, you know, mm-hmm. especially too, your dad, if he had owned the company, founded like for a long time, and then now you're coming in and you have all these ideas, whether they're good or bad, it doesn't matter really at first. It's kind of like, how do I implement those things and get dad on board? It was probably a piece of this. Maybe let's start with what struggles did you face in the beginning of that? And then we can walk through kind of how you worked through them.
No, and I respect my dad. I mean, he built a phenomenal company. It was built, it was lean and mean, very profitable. He took care of employees. He did a lot of things. I came from, again, in the corporate world, the technical side. I saw that technology was really coming in. When I came in 2005, marketing, we all know that was the age of Google. I mean, I was coming at a great time at this company, and we were growing fast and rapid. And with even those first few years, I was learning a lot, but there was also some dynamics there with my dad and his two partners. My dad could only do so much because he had these other two partners with him. And one of the partners had family in the business as well. So there was that whole dynamic too. And it just really became where was the company going to go? And what was the vision? And I think the thing that I realized about my dad growing up on a farm, my parents both came from the farm to the city. I think they were really into the day-to-day very much. My dad was in the day-to-day up until he retired. He never got out of the day-to-day. And I think that was the first thing that I really discovered, was if you're going to lead, you really need to get out of the day-to-day and work on those strategic pieces. And that was really hard at first for me, but it was really necessary because we didn't know where the company was going. Again, until I had that why, that was one of the things. I would say the other one was, as you said, I had to really look at what my dad did, how he built the business, and really kind of categorize that. Or I, in the book, I say looking inside myself and really just understanding, I understand why that worked for him, why he did the things he did. Doesn't mean I have to do everything he did. Some things are good, or some things still work. Some things probably need to be tweaked a little bit, and some things need to be changed. But I think that whole sorting out, you have to really sort that out. It's not a good or bad kind of thing. But I was really, again, being highly reactive, I really treated, I don't want anything to do with how it was around the past. I want this, you know, I want that. Right. I think the high reactivity was really just driving, was the driving force in me. And I needed to change that. And that was probably the biggest transformation for me, was understanding that you don't have to go 100 miles an hour. Things do take time, and you got to bring others along if they're going to be effective.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. You see a lot of this, like in the management world, leadership world, in the sense that there's, to me, two things that are fairly apparent that get missed. One is, a lot of times if that business or company or whatever was existing, and now you come in to a management role, or, you know, that company was doing something right before you got there. You know, if this is a success, if you're not being brought in to turn a company around, you may be coming to inject new life into it, new ideas and all that, but you also have to step back, as you just mentioned, and say, well, look, this is for you what my dad did. Like, this is already a successful company. I don't necessarily need to reinvent the wheel. I need to figure out how to bring my ideas and kind of complement everything that's already happening. And I think that, you know, that's one piece that I feel like, if you really think about it, you know, that the company was there before you get there. Hopefully it's there long after you're done as well. You know, kind of that's the idea with a business, is just to have it continue on in some capacity. And as you said, eventually be able to remove yourself from it. But then also that, that growth and scale for the sake of growth and scaling, you know, without pacing yourself and making strategic and smart decisions, I think can hurt a lot. So, it sounds like those are some of the things that you exactly encountered. And I think that's sort of natural, right? You come in, you're like, I want to do my thing, make, you know, plant my flag. I want to make this, this cool thing even better and amazing because of me. But like, really figuring out how to match your dynamic with what's existing is probably the biggest trick in entering into a business at a management or leadership level.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And for me, really, that whole transformation, it was really, again, once I got and then to get on that strong why, I really did have to work with a coach. So I did. I sought out. And I think that's the other one. You have to ask for help. If you need help, you gotta be true to yourself and just say, you know what, I might need a little help in this area. And so let's work on this. And once I got that why in place, I think that's where my whole thinking it really came back to, I can do this, but it needs to be based on something, and it needs to be based on value. For me, it was strong values of people first. I'm going to build this thing with people, because I can go further with people than I still believe than any technology or any process. So how does that work? And we got together as a leadership team, and we dug out the old mission statement, vision statement that was in a drawer, basically, and we rewrote everything together, and we had to be on the same page. It took about 2 to 3 days. It was blood, sweat, and tears, but we were going to be on the same page and all come to that idea. And right before that, I had thought, again, I was going so fast. I brought in 10 people, 10 executives from the outside, and thought I could do it by getting those skills sets and bringing them inside. Well, I was destroying the culture fast. I finally had one scientist come up to me and said, we're all walking if you don't do something. And sure enough, that day I walked out 7 of those executives after 2 months, because the company was just falling off. So it really, again, showed me that there was a strong culture. We can still make it better, but it's got to come from some values. You got to have a strong mission. You got to have a strong vision and your why. The leader has to have a strong why and purpose, and people see it. I did not realize the power I was having, or I was going through all this. I looked very too serious, very frustrated, and people really latched onto that. I was like, what's going on with this company? And I think that we see that in transitions too, when the leader comes in and just shows terrible emotion or doesn't really reach out to anybody else, is not connected, that can take a company down easily, is what I learned very fast. So I always have to bring my A game every single day and show that I really do care through actions, through words. And I think that was really a turning piece for me. And then once people started to see this, again, it doesn't happen overnight. It's consistency. it really does start to change the culture, and you can make a difference. And it's huge what all those processes together. I know I'm giving you the short version, but that's really what happened over the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah. And you've mentioned culture a number of times, and I think it's so important within a company. It's easy to get away from it, I think, right? When you start to look at numbers and growth only, it's easy to get away from that. The culture, even you may have a culture already in place, or you may have your own culture and vision of culture that you want, but it's easy to get caught up in, oh, but we would put the culture on the back burner right now because we got to get to XXX, meet X multiple X, Y, and Z multiple or metrics, excuse me. And it's an easy thing to fall out of, but it's probably, like you said, like the quickest way to kill the company is by dropping the culture and making it, a place that people don't want to work, right? Because at the end of the day, that's what you need. And you mentioned having a strong why, and for me, the why is always, that's what keeps you going when it's hard, right? Mm-hmm. When you're facing those struggles and things like that, you have to, as a leader, you have to, I don't like the idea of an emotionless leader. I think you just have to understand how to keep them in check and continue to lead with clarity, even in those emotional times. Like, business is going to have up and down. You're going to have some days where it's hard and you're frustrated with things, but you have to be able to channel that into something productive. So I think you mentioned that you had gotten a coach to help you with some of that. Mm-hmm. Maybe talk about that process a little bit.
Sure.
Did you actively seek a coach? You found a mentor organically. How did that play a role for you?
Well, again, I think it was really understanding myself. And I think a lot of us do this. I don't think I realized that I had, for whatever reason, too, buried a lot of my true beliefs or true feelings. I just buried them. I was going to work 8 to 5. I was punching the clock, getting my tasks done, meeting all the deadlines. And then I go home. That was it. That was my life, in the corporate world. I'd stay longer because I thought that was going to be my way to continue to move up the corporation. But really, in a sense, when you wake up and you realize that you can, first off, you got to have a strong why. And that took me a while. I had to really work at writing that out. And my why is I'm a person of faith who coaches people up and leads from the heart. Very simple, but I say that every single day, to your point, no matter if it's a good time, bad time, that's what's going to get me through, as you said. And it's exactly right, because you're going to have ups and downs. And I don't think I even realized the culture I was in, that we were putting out fires continuously. I think there was a reason why we couldn't look strategically, because we were always we were doing firefighting all the time. Yeah. And even, and when you spend your time firefighting all the time, whether it's a system, whether it's personnel issue, different, that takes a lot of time, and it takes away. And I think by getting out of the day-to-day operations, you also show trust. It's delegation, basically. It's not, mm-hmm. You're not completely away, but you're delegating, you're trusting your team. And when your team comes to you and says, I remember that conversation, we need you to be strategic. We need you to look for our next property. We're going to grow, but people want to know where we're going, and they always want to know where the company's going. And so you better have a good answer to that every single day. I have to have a good answer to that. And trust. You have to trust. If you don't trust, I don't know how you're going to be successful, because you just have to. I think that's a prerequisite if you're going to be a leader. A good leader is you trust your team. And yeah, they're going to make mistakes, but they'll keep you informed. I know today, I know more being out of the day-to-day than I ever did being in the day-to-day. And I can absolutely say that. And that was huge when I realized that, that was really a huge awakening for me, that I was so much in the day-to-day. I couldn't believe that I didn't even see what was really happening.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of great points there. I think, it is, again, a lot like you know, losing sight of the culture. It's easy to get stuck in that day to day because you're just trying to get things done. And so, especially if you're in that position of always putting out fires, like you mentioned, you're just, you know, problem after problem after problem. I'm gonna be the person to handle every single problem. And by doing that, you're not allowing yourself to get out of that firefighter mode, because you're not looking into the future. You're just constantly looking behind you and cleaning up messes. And it's a big challenge if you do want to grow and scale. And that's the thing. I think a lot of us try to scale quickly, but then miss that piece. And so now you're in that constant catch-up mode. And if you don't go back in and sort of establish a forward-looking business plan, you're just always going to be cleaning up messes. And it's a really big, tricky piece of it.
And then the other one, that the key concept that, again, I mentioned Dana all the time. She's my chief strategy officer. She had three companies of her own before she came here. She is an entrepreneur at heart. She understands this stuff so well. But she gave me the concept of people, process, and technology, in that order, always. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, when you take care of people, when you put people in the right place, again, that's huge. But you also have to follow that up with processes. There's got to be consistency. And then after that comes technology. I probably had it reversed for a long time. I thought you could solve a lot of things through technology. But the people first mentality really does change the ball a lot. And it really does affect companies today. And I'm just so grateful that she gave me that concept. And I use that all the time. It is just, it's been huge to really work on a philosophy like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a great sort of concept to work within. I think that the interesting thing about technology, and, you know, certainly there's so much more, you know, that if you look back even a decade or two decades at where technology was and where it is today and the speed that things are going. And, you know, there's a lot of talk about AI and all of that right now, but you know, you even think, like, I think a lot of people probably don't know this or don't remember it, but the iPhone, that's like essentially a part of everybody's life now, came out in 2007. So it's been 17 years. We haven't had that for that really that long in the scheme of life. And AI is this thing that people keep talking about. Oh, people are going to put people out of jobs potentially. And I think, yes, there are certain things that AI will be able to take over, but people are still going to drive the applications for AI, the quality control of AI, like all of this stuff. It's still driven from people first. And you need the right people in place and processes to be able to implement that technology. So it just, I think it's really something that I love that you say that, you know, people needs to be the first thing, because your culture is not going to come from your processes and SOPs. Your culture is not going to come from your technology. Your culture is going to come from the people that are, you know, sort of interacting with each other and your clients, and you know, kind of that's what's forward facing. And so I think it's really a great point that you make there, Brent.
Yeah. No, and I think through that process, when we talked about looking inside and sorting things out, the other thing is we have to get healthy. If we don't take care of ourselves, how can we take care of others? And that was a huge awakening. And that really what started my daily routine of every morning, I have to do something physical. I have to do some type of physical activity to get the blood flowing, and eating right and getting enough sleep. Those things are, I didn't do a lot of those things in the corporate world. And that, again, led to a lot of reactivity. And so health, top of mind, is very, very important. And emotional intelligence, we talk about that. I've really worked at that, again, the last 4 or 5 years. I do feel you can feel the energy in the room. I used to think that was a bunch of BS, but it's true. It is true. When you really allow yourself to grow in awareness and you have a passion for other people, you will start to feel the energy, and you will. And again, you can tell it's so helpful. Like in a meeting, it really stops me. I give the example of we're in a meeting, and if somebody in the room, one of our directors says, "Hey, I think everyone in this room deserves a 30% salary increase." My old self would have said, get out of here. What are you talking about? You know, I would have been totally reactive. Today, they laugh at me because I take this huge deep breath and I take about 10 seconds to process. And I say, okay, tell me where that's coming from. Why are we saying this right now? What's behind that statement that was just made? And there's such a difference in a room when you really try to look and see what the reason behind something is versus just being totally reactive and not allowing those things to really give it much thought.
Yeah, totally agree. I think it's a fun that energy that you talk about too, I think is contagious. It's fun to see. It's fun to get excited about your vision or hear someone else's vision and ideas and have, you know, sort of a collective energy and excitement towards implementing that, you know, whatever, again, whether it's yours or one, mm-hmm. someone you work with, or it's just a really cool feeling to have all of that come together and get everybody kind of on the same page and moving in the same direction.
I think to your point, it creates the best ideation. Let me give you a great example of that this year. Healthcare costs. I mean, I just say the word and I think everyone just goes negative and says, oh, yuck. I remember our broker coming to us and saying, hey, we're self-insured and our plan went up 400%. And what did they say? Hey, you got to pass this cost on to your employees. You got to raise your deductibles. You got to raise your copays. You got to raise all that stuff or you're not going to make it. And we just said, you know, there's got to be a better way. Come on, there's got to be a better way. And in the industry, we looked at that. There's no incentive to bring costs down right now. So how do you do something like that? So we actually did. We worked on it for, I would say, about 8 months. And we found a company here in town that had similar values and that worked on a cash price system. And so now, today, we have a medical office on our site for our 300 employees. And three times a week, we have doctors and nurses come up on site so that our employees can go get their primary care physician needs taken care of at no cost to them, versus they didn't have the time before during the day, and they were going to the urgent cares and they're going to the emergency rooms. And so we found a way. We're in month two of this. We started the first of the year, but we're trying to find a way again to manage these costs. And I think that's the kind of great thinking. Again, you can talk about technology and all that, but that came from people. That really came from people seeking an answer. And I think that's the beauty of this.
Yeah. It's being solution driven versus problem driven, right? Like you have that, we talked about that sort of firefighter mentality of like, we're going to always, you know, sort of be cleaning up. But even I sort of hate to use the firefighter analogy because that's what we think about, but even firefighters, I mean, I'm in California, there are proactive things done to avoid wildfires, right? So they don't just fight the wildfires when they're already going, they're actually doing proactive things to kind of avoid having them happen in the first place. So it's being proactive about whatever, you're always going to be, it doesn't mean nothing's going to go wrong. It just means that you're going to be in a better position to handle it. And that's this example of healthcare is exactly that. It's like, okay, tell me this, there's a problem. Now let's figure out how to, you know, what our solution is. And there's, it doesn't always have to be the first thing that's put in front of you and like, oh, well, the solution is raise everybody's rates. Like maybe, but if you don't try to find a solution, then that's definitely the solution and it's a bad solution. So it's kind of like being willing to open up and look for, you know, think outside the box, look for, you know, be solution driven rather than problem driven, I think that's a phenomenal example of that. So thank you for sharing that story.
Yeah.
Brent, I want to switch gears. I want to ask you the questions I ask every guest. The first one is always, what is your why? You have talked about that and sort of mentioned it. I want to give you the chance to, you know, kind of expand on that if you want, but sure. It is certainly obviously an important component of this podcast.
Yeah, no, you know, person of faith obviously is very important to me. Coaching people, I love the world of athletics. I'm as competitive as the next person. Obviously, growing up here in the Midwest, I'm a huge Kansas City Chiefs fan. So a big story about that is in 2008, I'll never forget, I told my wife, I'm going down to a coach's clinic at Arrowhead Stadium. I'm not a coach. I'm just going to put some school down on the form, but I just want to be in the room with Dick. At the time, it was Dick Vermeil. I wanted to be in the same room as Dick Vermeil and see where that passion, because I hear this guy's a wonderful coach. All these players want to play for him. And spending a day with Dick Vermeil in that at Arrowhead Stadium was just incredible. I understood why these players would do anything for this coach. And the passion he had, the leadership, I wanted to emulate that somehow. So I always think about that. Those experiences that you have, big or small, do make an impact on your leadership. And you can go back to them and realize that, yeah, that made a huge impact. And I want to do something like that. And I think that was really huge for me in building up my why.
Yeah. Yeah. I think impact is such a big part of, and I, you know, you mentioned before that you didn't necessarily know what your why was at points. And I think it is very normal for there to be an evolution of your why and have it change over time and things like that. And for a lot of people, it is hard to articulate what that, I mean, I have a podcast called Know Your Why. I didn't really even know that that was a thing until, you know, 4 or 5 years ago where I started seeing people talk about their why and the importance of it and all of that. And it was just such a compelling piece of people's stories that's sort of where the podcast came from. But even myself from you know, that time to now, my why is different. It's not completely different. It just has more, there's building blocks upon it. So I think it's very, very normal for people to not necessarily immediately know the answer to that question. But I do think you need to have a strong why to accomplish big things and move forward when you know you face challenges, because you will face challenges. So the next question for you, tell us something about yourself that isn't common knowledge. Special skill, a hobby. I know you just said you're into athletics. Maybe what do people not know about you that it'll let them know you a little better?
Yeah, I would say, you know, I always talk about daily routine and being outside. I loved being outside. I love, for the last like 6-7 years, I've always tried to get outside, run. Well, this year, January 3rd, I thought I could play on our company basketball team. I'm 58 and I thought I was 20 in my 20s, and non-contact, and I fall down and I fracture my knee. I go into the surgeon, and if I hadn't taken care of myself, I know that next day and if I was super reactive, I would have said, I'll go through the surgery. Just give me just do the surgery now. He looked at me and he said, I think you have a way where you can avoid surgery if you stay off it for 6 months. So now I had to funnel, how do I do that? We're always going to be faced with issues, but now I would say in the last 4 months, I've discovered chair workouts. If you go on YouTube, there's 50-100 videos. I had no idea how weak my upper body was. I had to take the first few videos and get over the fact that most of these are led by women, and that they have probably stronger upper bodies than most men. And you go in 30, 60 minutes with dumbbells, but it's been fantastic. And it really took breaking my knee to figure out that I could actually do this and have a workout and really get something out of it and become stronger in the whole process. So I think it's, when you have a strong routine or you have things that really, that you hold on to, you'll find ways, you'll be optimistic, you'll find ways to make it work. And now I just love it. I did boxing and all these things that I'd never done before. I had no choice but to try these things, and I really get better, and I'm still working at it, but it's been huge for me.
That's super cool. It just ties so well into that, you know, sort of being solution oriented, right? And instead of, oh, I hurt myself, I can't do X, whatever, you know, whatever it is, I can't do a thing because of this. Instead, how do I continue to do things in spite of this. And it's just a different way of looking at it. And it's really great to hear that. And now I'm like, oh, I got to look into these chair workouts.
Oh man.
Because I've never heard of it. So that's
they're awesome. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I'd never heard of it either myself. And they're hard. They're definitely hard.
Yeah, I'm sure. When people hear this and they want to reach out to you, what's the best way?
You know, I would say LinkedIn. If you go on LinkedIn and CEOofyourheart.com, that's where you can find my book. But LinkedIn, I try to post something almost regularly, whether, again, it's a faith message. I'm also a thought leader on LinkedIn. I'm trying to post more and more on the topic of leadership. I just think it's so vital. We need leaders like never before. And your podcast, I think these resources, people need to hear this, because we need more and more strong leaders today. And it's harder and harder, I think. And I think people are maybe a little scared of it. I don't know, but we do. We need leaders like never before.
Yeah, agreed. Final question for you, Brent. What piece of advice would you give to someone who they hear this podcast episode, they're really inspired by your story? What would you tell them, you know, in terms of getting started? They want to work on their own leadership skills. Maybe they've got a new job prospect in front of them, something like that. What would you tell them for inspiration?
Yeah, I would say for me, the power really started with journaling. And when I say journaling, I'm not talking passive, you know, where you just write down what you did today. But be really intentional about it. Set an intention every single day. Write down your three goals. And then the one thing that really helped me, especially deal with issues and stress and that, I have to think of what made me uncomfortable the day before. So today, like, I have to think back to yesterday, what one thing made me uncomfortable. And I learned this, again, in a mastermind I was in. But it's really helped me, again, focus. Do I spend a lot of time on this? Or is this just something I thought about, but it really I don't need to worry about that. But it takes the power out of those things, because every entrepreneur, every owner has things they deal with or that keep them up late at night. But if you write it down, you'll start to see that you can really deal with it more in an effective way when you just take the time to think about it through a little bit more.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's a great advice. I just want to say thank you. This has been a phenomenal conversation. I think so much for people to gain in terms of, you know, leadership skills and from hearing your story and some of the techniques you've used. So thank you for coming on the show today. I appreciate it very much.
Absolutely, Jason. This has been great. Thanks again.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks listening, I know you're going to get a ton of value out of this. Please like, rate, and review the show so we can get more great guests like Brent. And thank you all for listening.
Hey there. I am Dr. Jason Ballara, and this is the Know Your Why podcast, where we explore the why behind success. Every week, I meet with real estate investors, veterinary entrepreneurs, mindset coaches, authors, and fitness professionals to uncover their why and how it drives them on the winding road to success. What is your why?